You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Ichiban Sweatcast. Ichiban. Ichiban Sweatcast. Curtis, so much news. It's bright and early. Emergency podcast. We've called it.
Emergency.
And it has to be an emergency to make us do anything off our regular schedule, which we don't actually have. So I'm very excited to go through everything. Huge title news over the weekend. Right. Huge title news.
Biggest title news that we could ever look forward to. Bolton Oleg.
That's it. There we go.
A trios champion in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Never six-man champion. Bolton Oleg, the first of the belts.
Oh, there you go. Well, I was actually talking about some other things that had happened, but that is still pretty big news. Happen? That's the physically biggest news to happen.
Ichiban Meat Boy. So did some other title change happen?
Well, I mean, there was a couple, to be honest, but yeah, one or two others happened, so we can duck into those real quick. But yeah, the Ichiban Meat Boy picking up that trios in Taiwan, I believe it was, wasn't it?
That was so cool, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like, I love when he was like posing with
Taipei.
Posing with Tanahashi in the little coat. And he's just like the biggest man you've ever seen in a tiny little jacket. So much fun.
Yeah, he is a sweetie. So yeah, we are happy to see it. That's cool. And that show, I was like skimming through some of the results and stuff. They looked like it was a really fun show. So I look forward to giving that a rip.
Well, I mean, what we wanted to talk about is the Ichiban Meat Boy, but what everyone wants to hear about, what everyone is here to listen to us talk about is Jon Moxley, the International Wrestling Grand Prix World Heavyweight Champion, Jon Moxley, the Global Grand Slam, WWE, AEW, IWGP, Jon Moxley, this generation's Terry Funk out here making it fucking happen.
Yeah,
dude. So up until like, I guess it was Friday night. Mm-hmm. I was not into this. You know how I am about,
well, we talked about this months ago. I like when this match was first announced, I said to you, I'm like, what do you think about it? 'Cause this is a very real possibility. Like there's every reason in the world, and we spoke that day, and I kind of laid out the reasons why I thought they sort of would maybe go with it, and you were like, oh, and you were kind of feeling a little bit more positive about it by the end of that chat. But I know you're not a big fan. But how are you feeling after it's actually happened? Because apparently he's committed a lot of dates to New Japan coming up. Like he's going to be on tours, so he's going to be defending and stuff.
Yeah, with the peek behind the curtain that we got, kind of set my mind at ease. We have heard now that he is doing tours in Japan. Mm-hmm. He's going to be doing a tour for, everything except for Best of the Super Juniors, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, and that's like a month right there where the World Heavyweight Champion just takes a month off anyway.
Yeah. It's
so we're not going to be getting any less time and stuff, any less title representation through Best of the Super Juniors than normal. Mm-hmm. Now here's the thing. I have seen so many people saying Naito was robbed, which this is the most Naito thing that he could possibly do.
Yeah.
I've seen so many people saying that, you know, Tony Khan politicked his way into stealing another IWGP belt.
I don't think
that's seen nice. From the Japanese audience, people are fucking digging it.
Yeah.
They love this idea.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, there's sort of two levels of looking at this, right? There's like the sort of kayfabe, like storyline way of looking at it, and the backstage sort of way, you know. And depending on how you consume your wrestling, you're going to look at it, you know, one way or the other, or maybe both. For me, I kind of see both sides of it. And I would say a couple of things to point out are John Moxley, from all reports and from what I understand and from interviews with him and stuff, he's a contracted New Japan wrestler. He was a New Japan wrestler, like, from the start, you know, of once he got free from WWE and stuff. And he also played a really big part in building that bridge to actually make AEW and New Japan work together, because there were not good feelings when AEW initially started. He played a part in that, and he wanted to do both and stuff. And if you look at John Moxley in New Japan, he has been booked like any touring wrestler that, you know, is coming in and doing stuff and is being built. He's got a great record in New Japan. He always absolutely kills it every time he comes in. Everybody always says the words that John Moxley hits different in New Japan. It's absolutely true. And he's like really passionate about it. And I think in the storyline, it sort of works as well because, A, he's been super dominant. He's finally built himself up to a title shot. And then Naito's story is, like you said, it's the perfect Naito story. I mean, he's a super underdog. He's been through a lot physically. Everybody knows about his health concerns and things like that. Everybody knows that really he can't actually keep a champion schedule. That, like, he shouldn't be doing that. That would be a very bad idea for his longevity in the sport and also his health outside of it. And he just had to defend against Tsuji and had like an absolute banger against him. He just had to go through a war. And then it's like a week later, he goes up against arguably the best wrestler in the world. Like, best wrestler, I mean, depending on what you like, you know what I mean? Like, strongest, toughest, meanest, kayfabest wrestler. Everybody knows that John Moxley is a super dominant wrestler. So another country, you know, he's flown there and said, like, miles, wear and tear, all that stuff happens. So I haven't been able to see the match. I was out all day yesterday. I've got to get it and see it. So I don't know how the finish played out or how anything worked, but I would say that I think it's totally fine. And then for a, you know, kind of backstagey type thing or whatever, I think this would have heavily been more just as much a New Japan choice as it would have been a Moxley choice or a TK choice. I think it's pretty cool for them. And in a situation where they've just had a bunch of huge stars leave, it's pretty cool that they've had this guy in their back pocket and working with them for a long time. You know, even when AEW was started, like, John Moxley's doing G1s and he's at Wrestle Kingdoms and stuff. Like, it makes sense. And he's arguably the biggest star they deal with right now. I mean, he's one of the biggest stars in the world. So you say, it makes sense. Everybody talks about New Japan. Everybody fucking, you know, knows his name. He's wearing the belt. He'll take it on AEW. He'll be on New Japan tours. It's just win-win for them, really.
I think the biggest positive that we can look at here, mm-hmm. It's threefold. And this was discussed on We Work Stiff. Mm-hmm. Saves Naito's body.
Yes.
Right? Builds up younger stars because he's going to be against Narita first.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, someone else here, or maybe Tsuji, mm-hmm. you know, and then eventually Naito.
The first person he called out was Shooter as well. He's like, this is your final exam before, like, the Narita thing happened. Because I saw the after-match situation in the ring. He's like, I'm here to help build everybody or whatever. And he's like, Shooter, this is your final exam. You're first. But then Ren attacks him from behind. And then Ren's like, not you, Shooter, it's me, kind of thing, which is really good. And Shooter made the same.
Did you hear the line that he gave Ren?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Coldest, nastiest motherfucker. You've just graduated from a young boy to a dead
man. Yeah, that's right. From a young lion to a dead man.
Bro. That is some fucking cold shit.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to murder that man.
Before you bleed all over them.
Yeah, exactly. And Ren's been known to fucking bleed and shit, like, to go pretty hard. There was like some strong stuff where he was pretty brutal. So I reckon it's going to be a bloodbath when fucking Ren and Moxley step in the ring.
Oh, it's going to be, you know, Moxley versus House of Torture can be so much fun.
Yeah.
So we've got save wear and tear on Naito, mm-hmm. build up young stars. Mm-hmm. And pop some big houses in Japan.
Absolutely. Because
you know that those, like, Moxley does big business in Japan, mm-hmm. which, you know, New Japan needs right now.
Absolutely.
And the eventual rematch with Naito and Moxley is going to be fucking huge.
Yeah.
Like if they do it for Dominion, that could be humongous.
Absolutely. I could see Moxley going on a run with this, like all the way through to Wrestle Kingdom. Like, absolutely.
If he wants to be in the G1, yeah, that'd be great.
Absolutely. I mean, the champion could take G1 off. Like, it wouldn't be the end of the world. I think he'll be in it, though. I reckon he wants it again. I think he fucking enjoyed it the first time and would be here for it. I fucking love Moxley's, like, work ethic, man. Like, he's just still a fucking indie wrestler, you know? Like, he's like, I'm here to fucking do the work. Like, he's here, like, I'm here to get in there and fucking go. And it's really cool to see. Like, I think his attitude's just fucking badass.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
he doesn't get paid his fucking AEW money to go fucking do a death match at GCW with Nick Gage. You know what I mean? Like, not at all. He does that because it's fucking awesome. Like,
yeah. And he knows he's here for a good time, not for a long time. Huh. Like, the dude's put miles and miles and miles on his body because one day he's just going to quit and he's going to be like, me, my daughter, my girl, we're all going to move to the woods.
Yeah.
And he'll just be gone, fine for the rest
absolutely,
of my days.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's like, I'm just having fun, you know, like. So, yeah, I think it's good.
He's Make-A-Wish kid now.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I just think he's the kind of dude that's just going to do right by him. Like, I just think he is. And I think he would have insisted on it. Like, you could tell even as he was speaking, like, afterwards, how much it meant to him to be the IWGP champion. You know, he respects New Japan. Like, and so, yeah, I think it's a big deal for him. And I think he's going to treat it like it's a big deal.
I wish they had a better belt to put on him.
So do I. It doesn't, I mean, I wish that about any time I say that belt, but I will say he, you know, it didn't look bad on him at all, though.
No, it didn't look bad. It's definitely better than that giant W belt that he had in the Fed, so.
Oh, yeah, well, there is that. So, but yeah, so I think that's really cool. I guess any more points on that, because there was a few titles, you know, flying around and stuff, so we can talk about some more stuff. But I think you covered it pretty succinctly. And if anybody hadn't heard that last WeWork Stiff episode, they really summed up quite well in their preview. But yeah, I think it's good. I think I'm really positive about it.
I mean, we have a group chat going with the Stiff boys and. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, I was at work on Friday night and I remember talking to them, just listening to that episode while I was at work and just going, you guys, you motherfuckers just talked me into this Moxley thing.
Yeah.
And then like 45 minutes later, he won the fucking belt.
What's worth actually touching on? And I've seen a little bit of discourse online and things like that. And it is part of any negativity that goes towards the Moxley thing. I do see it being based around the other titles that have happened. So obviously that stuff happened with where, you know, Riddle comes in, wins a belt. Nemeth comes in, wins a belt. Then it's Moxley and they're just like, oh, it's all the W, like, you know, if you're just looking at New Japan from a standpoint and a snapshot, you're like, oh, they're just giving all the ex-WWE guys a belt. But really, at this stage and the amount of time he has spent with this company, I don't think you can, like, wrap Moxley up in that. You know what I mean? It's not like a whitewashing of a company. It's not just giving it to those dudes. I think he's a New Japan guy, and I think he stands apart from those other two names.
Well, he brings something that no one else gets. No one else sees what John Moxley brings, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you say it as a deathmatch guy, like, he's not a fucking tourist. He knows what he's doing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess I was one of those people that was upset when Riddle and Nemeth both walked into the company and took belts. But that wasn't because it was going to Western Talent. That was based around there is no story here. They've just walked straight in. I mean, less so about Nemeth because he did have like a mini story and I thought that was cool and I was just more disappointed for Finlay, but you know, he's been having health issues. So I wonder if that was turned into it, but they're doing stuff with him, you know? So I was more annoyed about Finlay sort of being cut off at the knees. The Riddle thing annoyed me because I don't really want him in the company. And then he walks in and instantly, you know, beats the president of the company. Like, that sort of pissed me off a bit, but I think it's pretty easy for people online to just be like, this is the same, and they're given all their belts, but it's not. It's not the same at all.
It's not. Like, fucking Riddle, I'm so glad that experiment's over. The way that he, like, no-sold losing the title and just, like, was dancing on his way out and stuff like that. Like, fuck him, man.
Did
How
he?
Unprofessional.
I haven't watched it.
So he got rolled up by Zach.
Only a roll up, not even choked out.
Not choked out, no nothing, just a roll up.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, he's not going to sell the loss or anything, but Zach's in there selling like, oh, I just got this belt. And yeah. like, oh, I went through hell to get it. And Riddle's on his way, like dancing out, like high-fiving the four people that would actually, you know, acknowledge his fucking existence.
Fuck off, dude.
And yeah.
You're supposed to be disappointed. Fucking, you've just lost fucking one of the titles.
Yeah, do business, you fucking shithead.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
Exactly. Say ya.
He would beat the shit out of us if we... so whatever, fuck him.
He can beat the shit out of me. It doesn't make him a better person.
No, it definitely doesn't. Doesn't make him a fucking a good person at all.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, he's just like no-sold completely, like everything about the belt, the company, whatever. I'm glad that experiment's fucking over.
I hope it is over.
And then... The Nemeth match, Nemeth and Ishii, like you've got a Western audience fucking loves Ishii, and Nemeth is like a monster when it comes to selling. So yeah, they were going to have fun. It's going to be a good time.
I enjoyed, I was watching like the post-match comments and stuff like that. And Nemeth's post-match comment, he was fired up and cut this really, like, great promo, like, hey, she's the best, and I'm so lucky to do it. Though he did call him the concrete pit bull about 100 times rather than the stone pit bull. But that would be one of those things where your brain just clicks to the wrong word. You know what I mean? He's new into the company and things like that. I was like, oh, poor dude, he's going to feel terrible about that afterwards, because he was really, like, giving it a lot. You know what I mean? And he had, like, a cool line. He's like... all I've ever done is be better than everyone else at everything. And I was like, that's a pretty great line. He's already started. You know how in wrestling titles corrupt, right? Like it's like somebody is, he's like, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it for everybody. But slowly they pick up a few wins and they always start to turn a little bit. And he's like, people told me this fucking jawline was too handsome for wrestling, but I can tell you it's fucking can take hits and all this shit like that. It was really funny.
Yeah, I'm pretty amped for him. I don't think that. I mean, the GHC is the one that's supposed to be traveling around, right? Mm-hmm. So if they put Nemeth on, you know, shows in America, put him on TNA Impact, put him on fucking AEW television, bring him over every now and again, like have him do a G1. Sure, why not? Fuck it. You know, like he's a New Japan contracted wrestler now.
Mm-hmm.
So if he has a belt, it's fine.
Yeah.
And if he's able to travel around America and represent that title, that's even better.
And I think he does. He comes across passionate about it. And that's all you can really like ask, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so there's good things that have come out of this. The new strong tag team champions, TMDK.
Well, let's talk about that. That's really cool. So it was ELP defending against the West Coast Wrecking Crew, Fred Rosser and Tom Lawler, and then Team DK, Shane Hayes and Mikey Nichols, and Team DK coming out on top, which I absolutely love. Very happy for those guys. Saw a post, Mikey had posted on social media, it's like, don't call it a comeback, we've been here for like 20 years or whatever, which is absolutely fair. And then there was a bit of an angle afterwards, right, where the West Coast Wrecking Crew sort of turned on Tom afterwards, which is cool because, I mean, they're Team Filthy dudes, but he's teaming up with their fucking sworn enemy. And so, you know, they're doing things and telling a story with Tom Lawler, which they absolutely need to do. Like, they need to use him more because he's fucking awesome.
Yeah, he should have been in the G1 last year, and God, I hope he's in the G1 this year.
Mm-hmm.
I love Tom Lawler, and he got over as fucking shit in Japan. So that would be fucking great. Let's go back to the John Moxley Naito match.
Uh-huh.
Are there downsides to John Moxley as the world champion? I know that we've both agreed that it's probably best for business right now.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of people, especially in the West, mm-hmm. who are not cool with it. And I don't want to just like, we're not shills. When New Japan's fucking in the dirt, we'll call New Japan on their shit and tell them they're in the dirt.
I mean, I think I touched on why they're feeling that way. And I feel like it's more to do with like the state of other booking decisions than this. I think they're lumping this as like, oh, and this is another example of them doing those things, but it's not. So like,
it is kind of like a once bitten, twice shy thing. Like,
They're afraid they're not going to see the belt anymore. Exactly, exactly. It's those things. But we know, and it's been stated, that he's going to be doing these tours and stuff. So it's not Chris Jericho with the IC title only coming back for the occasional pay-per-view. It's not Kenny Omega taking it away for 6 to 8 months and not defending it even on his own show, things like that. Like he just won it. He's already been announced, like, AEW's, like, John Moxley returns because he's been off AEW TV as the IWGP champion. He's got the belt on his shoulder in the picture and shit. And then we know he's doing like the New Japan tour. So what else can you ask? You've just got to let it play out at a certain point, right? If he suddenly disappears and we get that sort of treatment, then we would sort of feel a little bit negative. But I really don't think that he can be sort of lumped in with those previous situations.
I hope you're right. I really
I hope,
do,
I hope I'm right too.
That's the one thing that scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the one. I don't want to have to watch a company I don't like to see my world champion.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't. You just wouldn't see him. But like,
I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And if it was like Kenny, he wouldn't even be wearing the belt when he goes out there.
Yeah. Exactly right. I think he will. I think he will. While we're talking about Bell, is there any more points on that? I think we're just going to wait and see. But I feel like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have a point on this, and this is coming from the Naito side. I did say on Twitter, to Josh specifically, you and I both said that like Naito going back to the Ellen Gobernable, throwing the belt in the air after the Tsuji match. You know, I waxed lyrical about how Naito wore white because he was accepting the Intercontinental Champion in himself so that he could ascend to the next level. Mm-hmm. And finally, he respected the IC belt, and that's why he was able to win the world title and become double champion.
Sure.
And I said it might have been a step back for his character to throw the world belt in the air, and then he loses it 6 days later. Do you think that's a story point specifically that he never loved the world title? Like, he was like, this is fine. It's okay. Like, I don't hate this thing, I guess. And then he throws it in the air, disrespects it Ellen Gobernable style, and instantly Naito's the fuck out of himself and loses the title.
It's a good question. That's a
WeWork stiff question, isn't it?
It's a WeWork stiff question. Josh needs to answer that.
Josh sent me this emoji, thinking.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he's on it. It is interesting, right? Because, like you said, it's a bit of a mental backstep for him. And when you asked me that question the last time we spoke, I was like, I took it like him really feeling himself and like showing Suji's like, just remember, this shit doesn't matter. I fucking matter and I'm the fucking top of this company. But then if you walk that through, it's like, he was in a real like earnest place for a while. He takes that mental step backwards, like maybe, you know, I am better than all of this. I'm better than this belt. I'm above my station. I'm the man, and then gets unseated. So I wonder if there's a, you know, he took that, you know, one step too far back into the cockiness and he overstepped. Accepting matches with like, you know, Tsuji and Moxley in 6 days apart. You know what I mean? That's a lot for a champion to overcome. And he's even kind of a new champion because he only just won it not even that long ago. So yeah, it's like
100 days ago.
Yeah, exactly. So is he like, I'm the fucking man. I can do all of this and just a little bit too big for his britches, as they say. And then that's
why he doesn't realize how far his body has deteriorated. Yeah, and so we always say that when you have those interfaction matches, those are the guys that are going to hit you the hardest.
Yeah.
Because Tsuji's like, I'm coming for your spot specifically.
Yeah.
He's like, I have no ill will towards you, but
I need you to feel me. I need you to know. Meat. Yeah, absolutely. So,
and then directly after that, you fight against John Moxley, who is an animal.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing. So, yeah, I do think it's a story bait. I do. Like, you're correct. I think
I'm glad I caught that one. I'm going to take that victory lap for a while.
There's definitely like a thought process thing there for him. You know what I mean? There's definitely a confidence sort of thing where he just took one step too far and it was his undoing.
I love it. Yeah. I love that.
Absolutely.
Where do you think that Naito could go from here? Does he rebuild himself through the G1 or does he win it back before the G1 somehow? Because he's on a clock. If he wants to win it before the G1,
I don't know.
A month because of the Best of Super Juniors. I don't know where he's going to find that time.
Is there even going
to
be?
They'd have to do it at like Dominion, right? Because you can't have that match again in AMA. You gotta do it at like Osaka Joe or the Tokyo Dome, one of the two.
I mean, how many he's won it for the last times can he have? Like maybe that was the last time.
Maybe that was the last time.
Maybe this is like not maybe it's not finished with Tsuji. Maybe it leads to him handing over LIJ and walking away. I mean, we know like legitimately in his real life. He had that eye surgery for like the last time in order to do that Wrestle Kingdom match. So it's like, how many more times do you want to go in the ring before you actually just like retire as a blind man or whatever is the consequences for that? You know, how much longer does he really have? He had said in interviews that he saw himself retiring at a certain age and he's well past that now.
Yeah, and everyone's like, oh, Naito deserves a long run and things like that. But
that'll never happen.
Naito is always a better chaser than he is a champion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because once he wins, instantly it's like, well, who's going to take it from him now?
Yeah.
You know, everyone's, oh, who's going to unseat Naito right away? You know, like, it's a thing.
Well, that's exactly right.
He's always a better chaser than he is a champion.
Yeah. Alrighty then. Well, I guess, is there anything left to touch on? I think we'll just quickly, we haven't had a chance to see the matches, so I do want to see it, but I guess we should quickly just talk about Jack Perry in Chicago against Shota because apparently it was like fucking, like the entire AEW airing that footage and stuff was really a vehicle for Jack Perry. And, anybody like who shoot thinks he's not in AEW anymore. It's kidding themselves. Like at the end of that interview, Matt Jackson stands up unbuttoning his coat and he's wearing a scapegoat shirt. You know what I mean? Like
the saddest thing about it is that he's probably done with New Japan now.
I think he might have more. He's going back
to AEW. He's going to be part of the Elite and things like that.
I would like to see them stretch it a little bit longer. If we could,
I would too. Yeah. I'd love to have Jack stay in New Japan, but I think he's already a way bigger star now.
And I think if they left it just a little bit longer, like, and really kept building him up by the time he comes back to AEW, he'd be a mega star. But yeah, he was doing like, he's obviously in Chicago. So there's a lot of like, you know, CM Punk fans and he's like teasing the GTS and shit. Like,
oh man. Yeah. Dude, the trousers that he wore, the actual like trousers in that he wore in the ring had like a broken glass pattern. Shit like that. Oh my God.
Just hate magnets.
This match between Jungle Boy and CM Punk that they're building to is going to be something else. When's that happen?
It's never going to happen.
But I
love that he's fucking making his career on that guy being a dickhead to him.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, you never know what breaks you through, right? Mm. You never know. So
that's it.
Strike while the iron's hot, I guess, man.
Exactly. Just real quick, what was your opinion on them airing the footage? Because people are saying shit like, oh, AEW in the dust, they're fucked up doing this, it's too wrong. In my eyes, there's nothing that's out of bounds in pro wrestling. And if you actually watch the segment and like watch the Young Bucks promo leading up to it and how they wrap it into it, like, we're showing this because this is the reason we lost it all in, because we had to put our EVP hats on, which is their current character. We had to go and sort out this mess. And who knows if FTR sent their best friend to go and stir up this shit. And the entire scapegoat in this fucking situation. A great kid, Jack Perry, the victim of this. Like, it's just, it was all fucking part of it and like tied into it. And I'm like, hey, you can say what you want about it, but all people have spoken about and have aired since that happened is that footage. And any publicity is good publicity. Everybody's speaking about AEW. Everyone's speaking about the Young Bucks. They speak about Jack Perry. They speak about CM Punk. So all those names are flying around in the media cycle because they did that. So it's a win, right? Like, it's absolutely a win. And then Jack Perry walks into Windy City Riot for New Japan and is fucking hot as fuck.
I don't care.
I don't care. That's what I mean.
I've got no opinion.
I made the mistake of reading Twitter at one point and like some of the ice cold fucking poor ass takes on there were just laughable to me. And I was like, you guys know this is wrestling, right? Like this is supposed to be this.
Yeah,
like,
it's supposed to be a shit show. Gasp and swoon, clutch the pearls. Oh, my stars and garters, how dare they?
Oh, the worst stuff was the dudes that are like, he had no choice, man. He told Tony to handle it, and if he doesn't handle it, he's just got to fucking handle it himself. And it's like, dude, it's a fucking workplace. Try and be a fucking professional. Like I saw somebody on a Simpsons meme page said, the only thing I have to say is walk into work tomorrow and fucking shove one of your coworkers like that and see how long you're employed for. Like,
yep,
absolutely. And it wasn't even his first offense, you know what I mean, of fucking crossing the line like this. So it's just unacceptable. I don't care like how fucking big a star you are or anything like that. If you're throwing around all these negative things and you're physically assaulting your coworkers and stuff over, to be honest, shit that's got nothing to do with you, like, fuck off. Like, I don't give a fuck.
That's a thing. Like, I like Jungle Boy. Jack Perry. I've thought he was fun. Like, I wanted to see him in New Japan like 2 years ago when he was the Jungle Boy. Mm-hmm. I thought that he'd be a great, like, you know, white hot, white meat baby face coming into New Japan. I thought that Jungle Boy would be over as fuck in Japan, mm-hmm, for Best of Super Juniors or something. But like, I think he's good. Mm-hmm. I used to be a CM Punk fan for a long time. Mm-hmm. It seems like he's just everything I hear about him is he's more and more of a bully. Mm-hmm. And I don't care for that.
I'm not here to take sides either. You know, I just don't care. Like, it's just, I just really have no interest in it. If they could, I just like that they could take a situation and turn that around to like help someone's career. You know what I mean?
And I
like that Jack Perry is making money from it with his fucking shirt and shit like that. I don't know what fucking Jack said to him. Maybe Jack was being an absolute fucking cunt. And fair enough, but you still don't lay hands on people, you know, in a fucking workplace.
Yeah.
And that's
you go out there and you pretend fight. You don't actually go out there and fucking try and choke someone out for real. That's called taking liberties with people.
Yeah. This isn't the fucking 80s. Cool. This isn't we fucking break Hulk Hogan's leg if he wants to be in the business, brother. Like, grow up. Like, seriously. There's a lot of fucking money on the line and shit. That bullshit could have, you know, had Jack got hurt, that match is scrapped off the card. If CM Punk gets hurt, his fucking match with Joe is gone. You know, there's a lot of money on the line. There's things happening. There's other people involved. You know what I mean? It's selfish and stupid.
Like, oh, and that the weirdest part of that was watching Chris Hero after the fight's broken up. Mm-hmm. Chris Hero comes out and he just puts his head in his hands and he goes, everybody just drop the bag. Every single fucking one of these assholes just drop the bag.
Exactly. He's like, this is fucked. It's absolutely fucked.
Yeah.
Oh, well then. Well, either way, I think we can sum this up real quick by saying that
it's John Moxley's world and we're just bleeding in it.
Exactly. And we are feeling really positive about that. So let's hit the fucking credits on this emergency podcast. I need to go to work and we will, we'll talk soon. So everybody knows where to find us. If you don't know by now, it'll be in the notes. It's all those things, but it's rate and subscribe. It's listen or die, spirited fight, style of strong, sweet cast, Ichiban.
Ichiban. Yeah.
we cast Ichiban. Sweet cast Ichiban.
Countout provides a wide variety of bonus content that is right at your fingertips. On the Countout Patreon, our podcasts are creating bonus content exclusively for you, their listener. For only $5 a month, you can watch instant reactions to major shows, watch-alongs, early access to main feed podcasts, some fun goof and gag audio, plus shows from some of the podcasters' outside interests. It's the best way to experience all that the Countout Network has to offer. So head on down to patreon.com/countout to take part in some of the best and most fun content wrestling has to offer. Again, that is patreon.com/countout.
This has been a Countout Podcast.